All right. Good afternoon. Good evening. For those of you who are in the last session, I'm still Shane. For those of you that are new to the session, my name is Shane Abreu. I'm in the Windows organization at Microsoft. And within the Windows organization, we have a group called the Analog Organization. We focus on natural user interactions. And I belong to the team Devices and Developer Enablement. So this afternoon, I'd like to talk to you about the rich biometric authentication capabilities that we're building into Windows 10. This is an extension of biometric capabilities that exist today on the platform, fingerprint readers as an example. The agenda, we'll talk about biometric authentication and what that means. And then we're going to go ahead and drill in then specifically on face authentication capabilities. I'll do a demo. I'll do three-ish type demos. And then we'll talk about hardware specifications and considerations, and I'll have an ask to you out in the community. That said, I kind of like to get a feel for who's in the room. If you're an OEM, could you raise your hand? Just so I know, my audience. ODM, independent hardware developer, folks that develop cameras and sensors and things. Great, awesome. Somebody I didn't mention. Thanks. Silicon, that's what I forget. Silicon, yes, okay. Sorry. All right. So it's no secret, right, that we live in an era with increased hostilities in the internet of people coming to steal our data, to compromise our credit card numbers, to steal our identities. Has anybody here been a victim of identity theft? No one's gonna admit that, right? So my wife was. And I tell you, it's a painful experience to get out of that and all the trouble you have to go through to fix that. So we have to work together, right, to battle that, to raise the bar on security and to meet our customer expectations of keeping them safe. So with that, in Windows 10, we have three related platform goals for that. And I say that platform because we have to work together, hardware and software. Enable consumers and enterprises to move to a secure, password-free world. Make it easy for them, but make it secure at the same time, enterprise-grade security. Develop the hardware solutions that meet those capabilities and exceed the user expectation, right? When you start saying, hey, I gotta make something more secure, what does that normally mean to you and I? It means, oh man, I got more things I gotta remember, more things I gotta do. That's wrong direction. Let's make it easy. Let's make it more secure, but let's make it easy at the same time. We can do both. Deliver together. Deliver biometric devices and embrace innovation. Deliver customer value. So what we have in Windows 10 is this biometric framework that biometric devices plug into and to enable these solutions. It could be fingerprint, it could be iris, it could be face. It doesn't matter. It could be all three. It's really up to you for the OEM community and the ODM community. What's right for your portfolio and what are your customers demanding? What do your enterprise customers want? What do your consumers want? Right? You have choices. So for devices that meet the Windows biometric authentication requirements, they benefit from and enable convenient device logon that includes strong user authentication at an enterprise level, granting you access to high business impact data and resources via NGC or next generation credentials. And it's consistent. It's consistent because this functionality is built into the Windows core. And if you're in my last session, you heard me say this, and I'll say it again. Being built into the Windows core means the functionality exists on all devices that has Windows 10 installed on it. Okay. So this could work on phone, it could work on tablet, desktop, except server. So maybe not server. But and it's a consistent, it's not only a consistent functionality, but it's also a consistent end user experience, not only from usage perspective, but also from enrollment. So what I mean by enrollment is, you know, when you authenticate, you have to enroll, right? If those of you who use fingerprint readers, you have to enroll your finger, right? You have to do the thingy where you enroll. If you're doing face authentication, you have to enroll. We take about 6 shots of your face, et cetera. And that's consistent across all devices because it's the same in Windows. And so that's the path that I want to go down of convenience. It's easy, it's seamless, but it's secure. That said, in Windows 10, we introduced face authentication solution. It's part of biometric authentication. And the terms you heard today was Windows Hello, right? Hello, Windows Hello. That's what we're gonna spend some of our time on here. I realize you probably have questions, by the way. We'll do questions at the end. We can do them publicly, we can do them privately. But we'll save them to the end. All right, so let's drill in a little bit more about face authentication. So Windows 10 introduces in-box face authentication capabilities. It provides a friction-free, seamless way to unlock your device with your face and access content, secure content at an enterprise level of security. Does not require passwords, doesn't require additional NGC gestures or authentication factors. And I'll demonstrate this. Oh, wrong machine. So for face authentication, here's kind of a list of the features. I talked about a couple of these already. Compatible across devices. It's a user-friendly interface, providing single sign-on capabilities, enterprise-grade, as I mentioned, access to NGC-supported content. I don't believe we have an NGC session here, but you'll hear more about this as we continue our development with Windows. You heard a little bit about, I think you heard codename Passport, that's what we're talking about. And then we also have integrated anti-spoofing countermeasures, and I'll talk about that in a little bit more detail. This is to mitigate attacks. So you think today when using passwords, right, people can hack your password. There's a variety of ways of doing that. So you think, well, naturally, if you're switching to a new authentication mechanism like face authentication, there has to be a way to hack that too, right? So we'll talk about what we're doing to mitigate those attacks. And then the ability to provide a consistent image. We rely on IR or clean IR sensing for this capability, and I'll talk more about that. I'm going to skip ahead because I go into that more detail here in a couple slides. Now you might be thinking to yourself, okay, well, you got face authentication. Once I log on or I unlock my device, is that it? Are there other usages that we can use, especially if I'm investing, right? From an OEM perspective or an ODM perspective, I'm like, hey, I'm investing in, you know, putting another sensor in my bezel, and what do I get? Do I just get log on, or do I get more? Well, you get security, you get NGC, you get device unlock, but you also get authenticate to purchase. And one of the things we're working on right now is a usage around presence, the ability to detect presence. So we're working on a presence API that will be extendable to applications that would consume presence information. Imagine a streaming movie application. And I'm making this up, so you know. Streaming movie application that, you know, and you have parental controls associated with it so the children aren't accessing, you know, certain levels of ratings, et cetera. Via this presence API, one possible scenario would be to detect that child's in front of the machine, and it then turns on those parental controls or activates the parental controls because it knows it's not you or some other adult or whatever. So that's just one example of that extensibility that we're working on. Okay. So these are the primary use cases for that sensor to begin with. And there's more to come, and I'm not going to spend time talking about it because it goes beyond the scope of authentication, but I hope hopefully this kind of teases you a little bit of where it could go. So face authentication as an NGC gesture. I mentioned earlier that this feature is built into the Windows biometric framework, which is also extendable. End-to-end experiences across devices. I talked about enrollment being consistent because it shares the same design language, same UI. And it meets Microsoft security requirements. Sometimes you'll hear that as security assurances. What this means is the security bar for the spec is a false accept rate of 1 in 100,000 with a false reject rate ratio of 2 to 4%. So this is enterprise grade authentication. Okay. As far as the anti-spoofing detection goes, it says liveliness measures. This is a way that we detect if you're a real person versus a photograph, a cell phone, you know, a PC, some type of image. Because it's using IR light, it doesn't see color, and it mitigates, you know, some of these spoofing techniques. What you see in these examples up here, like the school portrait, you see what the photograph looks like, and then you see that kind of gray screen. That's an IR image. IR just sees it as a blank piece of paper. Same with the phone. I'll demonstrate this as well in a moment. I'm gonna do all my demos at once. And then same with like a PC type of situation, okay? So now, to be honest, you could say, well, hey, I thought I heard that there are special inks that can be reflective in IR light and potentially could be a photo you can see in IR light. Yes, that is true. So there's always gonna be something, but what's gonna be easier, figuring that out or hacking a password? Tricking somebody into giving their information away over the phone, over the internet, you know, user forum, a game. So, not infallible, but very secure. So I'll demonstrate that in a moment. Talk a little bit more about the security promise. So as we developed this feature in my group, we worked with our security group, the Windows OS security group. The way we validate the security level and the accuracy of this technology is by sampling actual faces. To date, we have over 13,000 unique faces captured so far. By RTM, we have a target of 30,000 faces. So what does that mean? Does it mean that we go and buy databases of faces? Do we go to like the government and like get, you know, the FBI's most wanted faces? No, we don't do that. We send out an army of people at Microsoft, mostly all over Washington, that go to like, you know, football games, sporting events, all over the place, and basically bribe people into enrolling in our database. You know, we give away Xbox games and things like Microsoft stuff. And we have a, you know, these 13,000 faces, unique faces. These are a variety of ages, ethnicities, skin colors, glasses, no glasses, hairstyles, tattoos, no tattoos, twins, people that look like their children, people look like their parents, Maybe people look like they're dogs. I don't know. but my point is, it's a real database of real people, also done in different lighting conditions. So, which is hard, and if you've been to Seattle, it's because it's always the same lighting condition, gray and rainy. But we find the sunny days and do that too. We also do a degree of machine learning to teach our algorithms. And that's how we get to our security numbers. And so just a little bit more about that metric of achieving a 99.1 true positive rate. So very high accuracy. So not only are we want to be secure, but we also want it to work every time versus being so secure that like you have to make multiple attempts to log in. So that's the balance. Okay. To achieve the one in 100,000, we already hit, you only need 1,200 unique faces. So the point I'd like to leave you with is we're going far beyond that. All right, so let me demonstrate. Raise your hand if you saw the demo this morning with the face authentication. Okay, so I'm gonna do it a few more times here. So the device we used this morning, we were using a Lenovo Yoga 15 with an integrated Intel RealSense F200 camera. So first thing I wanna say is that's, those are in market today. You can buy machines with those. There's a Lenovo. I believe there's an Asus as well in the market. There's an HP. And there'll be many more devices to come that have the integrated camera. And that's fully supported with this feature. So systems in market today will upgrade. And then new systems will come with it. And you'll get that face. You'll get the face authentication experience. So you saw that using that machine. The demo I'm gonna do over here, I'm gonna use a little add-on device, right? Because I wanna talk to you guys about building these and getting these integrated. And so this is just a little reference device that we have that we use internally for testing and for getting all those metrics and things like that, in addition to the Intel RealSense device that we've been working with. So I have that on my system and just, so you know, it's like, you know, I don't have like hidden machines under the table or anything. This is my machine that I just unplugged. But you know it's real. So I'm logged in now, so I'm just gonna go ahead and log out. Step out of the way. So the little sensor's on here. I'm gonna stand in front of it, look at it. Hands free. Log me in really quickly, right? Yay! Do it again, stand out of the way. Because if I stand there, it just locks me right back in really fast, right? So I come back in front of it, I look at it, logs me in again. The thing I want to point out is, I'm about arm's distance away, right? And I think you can see my screen, right, when I do. So it's just my a blank screen, right? I'll hit the button. I'll go to this screen too, so you can see. Just a regular login screen. And I'm just standing in front of it. And I log in again. As you'll see in the spec, and as I'll talk about, part of what kind of makes this happen is because of, so it has a wide field of view. And that's the goal of developing this, is have a wide field of view. It was exactly the same thing with the RealSense camera that you saw this morning. When Terry stood down in front of it, he was about arm's distance away and he just looked into it. He didn't have to like angle himself or anything like that. And that's the goal of this. And so, you know, realistically, if I was just to sit down in front of my desk, it's just gonna log me in. I don't have to do anything special. And it's funny, you don't realize how much you log, how many times a day you type your password until you don't have to do it anymore. And then you get annoyed when you have to, because I don't have this at home, I have it at work, and I just sit down and log in. I go do something, I come back, I sit down and log in, I don't have to type. Then I get home and I have to type in passwords, and I'm like, God, this is horrible. So, so here's what I want to show you in addition to that. So I talked to you about one of the reasons we chose IR, and I'll have some slides on this. It provides a clean light source, and it's not as susceptible to older technologies, to ambient lighting conditions. And I'll show you what I mean. I'm going to show you before I talk to you about it. So I have a program here. It's going to show you what the camera sees. Bear with me as I try to resize my window without a mouse. All right, so you see me in front of this. This is what it sees. I'm a ghost. I want to do something. So we talked about anti-spoofing earlier. So here's my phone with my picture, squinting. When I hold it in front of the camera, see what it sees? It's the same effect if it was a photograph. It's a ghost. So there's that. Also lighting conditions. So here's my bright flashlight. Hopefully I don't flash anybody in the face. Well, hopefully I just keep it on. So if you look at me, first of all, look at me. You notice there's like shadows and things. I'm creating shadows on my face. But you notice in the IR light, it doesn't do anything. And look, I'm shining it in the sensor. And it's not changing my appearance. I'm consistently the same. You're like, okay, well, what happens if you try to log in? Move out of the way. Watch. I'm putting the light on the sensor. Standing in front of it, taking a big risk, but I think I have to do my little trick. I had the thing in front of my face. That's why it didn't come in. I'll do it again. Here, I'll do it this way. It's on top, and then I stand in front of it. I have a timer. There you go. I'm still shining light on the sensor because I live on the edge. I'm going to try it again. Put it on me this time. I look into it. There you go. I put my hand in front. There's a timer on it so it doesn't immediately log me back in again. So this is what I want to demonstrate to you. So I'm not real susceptible to ambient lighting conditions. I have some anti-spoofing technology built in. And it's, you know, we didn't have to build a lot of this because it's just inherent in the technology that we're using, that we're defaulting to. We rely on 2D clean IR light. That's it. We don't use 3D data. We don't use RGB data. We just use clean IR. Okay? So one reason why I wanted to show you this thing, because I wanted you to, for those of you who saw this morning and we'll see videos and things later, is you see the devices can be integrated. They could be external, or they could be other devices that you create yourselves. So we want you to create those devices. For you IHVs out there, let's create some of these. Let's grow out a supply chain. All right. So let's talk about the hardware specifications and considerations. So I think I talked through a lot of this already. IR is an ideal data source for identity scenario because of these reasons. And I hope I demonstrated that it's a clean and consistent image. high tolerance for changes in physical appearance. Oh, I didn't hear. Put my glasses, my disguise, and still log me in. I didn't bring any makeup, so I can't do that one. Multiple enrollments aren't needed. In the past, and we've learned this lesson ourselves, and the way we learned this lesson was with Xbox. So if you remember way back, Xbox 360 with the Kinect sensor was an RGB color-based sensing technology. And it worked. But sometimes in order for it to work consistently, you had to re-enroll yourself in it. And for those of you who had an Xbox 360 or have an Xbox 360 Kinect, you know, if you've had to re-enroll yourself a couple times, you probably did a few times and you got done with it, right? So we learned that lesson. So with Xbox One, we moved to IR, and the experience is better. It's not perfect. And it doesn't provide, you know, authentication today, because that's not a design goal. But the user experience is vastly improved. Scenarios have been enhanced. But we took it another step with Windows 10. And so the goal there is you enroll once. And it doesn't matter what lighting condition or, you know, whatever, when you did that enrollment. At the end of the day, a high true positive rate, it just means it just works. So these are the challenges we ran into with our older solutions and our test solutions when we're working with RGB. First of all, we don't support it. It doesn't work with Windows Hello. We based our IR decision on a lot of research, both internally at Microsoft Research and then also within the industry. There's two really great papers. One comes out of, I believe, the University of Tennessee, and the other one out of the University of Utah that talks about clean IR as a preferred data source for authentication mechanisms. So anyways, I think I talked through all these things, but these were the challenges that we ran into. And this is why we're moving forward with a new technology. Not only that, but it's a new technology that drives a PC refresh cycle, right? It's a new technology, new hardware, new PC, you know, happy industry. So, building out the solution, you have three primary dependencies. You have the sensor components, listed below. The driver, and you'll see the term iSource provider interface. That's the interface that's an extension of your driver. This is what describes the device to Windows, so Windows knows how to interact with the sensor. Again, a situation where we changed the spec after the slides were made, and I couldn't change the slides because of a lot of reasons, but iSource provider is going to change names. I just want to tell you now, don't be surprised. When you're like, where did iSource provider go? I see this thing called iFrame provider. So we're changing the name to iFrame provider. So just telling you now. And then in addition to that, there's some specific hardware requirements. So I'm going to use the word requirement here, and this is how I'm going to use it. We don't have a certification program. Requirements. The spec is broken down into recommended and requirement. It's guidance no matter how you look at it, but requirement doesn't mean certification, it means required to work. For example, it's required that it's a clean IR device. If it's not, it doesn't work. So that's how you break that down. So the components consist of a standard 640 by 40 monochrome webcam. You can use MIPI or USB as your transport. A common question is, can it be a higher resolution camera? Yes, if you want. IR capable lens, IR illuminator, and a filter, and we specify the frequency range. and then a controller. And that could be via ISP or it could be through the SOC, depending on which platform you're building on. Okay. What we don't have today, Internet RealSense F200 is a module that's available today for you to integrate into your PCs working with Intel. What we don't have is another like generic module. And this is where we need your help. This is where we need to build out the supply chain in the community to develop, you know, components for OEMs and ODMs to drop into their systems who want to enable, you know, face authentication capabilities or IR-based scenarios, in addition to all the capabilities, the extended capabilities that you get from RealSense. Right? So RealSense, what's neat about RealSense is it's an IR sensor, it's a 3D sensor, and it's a color sensor. You get all three, right? So scenarios well beyond what we're talking about today. So iSource provider, which is just or iframe provider, that you'll see it called out in the spec. We're releasing the spec will be available. For those of you who have a Kinect account, a Microsoft Kinect account, it should be available sometime this week, next week, of the latest. And then we plan to go public with it in April is our goal. And then the iframe provider, we'll have sample code also available with a target of April. But if you have any questions on that, I have an alias I'm going to show you on the call to action slide. You can email me there. But this is what the iSource provider does. The device uses, if you create a device that is a UVC class device, you can use the inbox UVC driver. You don't have to create a custom driver. You just have to create your iSource provider. And again, we'll provide sample code. It's pretty straightforward. Now, if you're creating a custom device that has additional additional capabilities, 3D or something like that, then of course you're going to build a custom driver for it. But for if it's just a UVC device, inbox works. This is a snapshot of the specification at the time I made these slides. There's probably a couple edits to them since then, but this gives you a general sense of what the specification is. In the new spec, we have the line of required versus recommended so that you know, like, you need this to make it work, or there's just a recommendation. We say you should do this. The things I'd like to point out to you that I think are important to a really good experience is going to be your field of view. You saw how that worked. That's my field of view. That device is built to that spec that I showed you. So my range, you know, I think in human terms, it's just kind of arm's distance or further. It's great. MTF. So MTF and then your signal to noise, IR, SNR, those are very critical in order for the device to work reliably without having to have multiple enrollments, etc. And then the filter, we define define the wavelength in here, illumination wavelength, etc. And then we have some test conditions as well. So I'll talk about the test conditions in a moment. Some additional guidance just to be considerate of if you're developing these type of devices, if you develop IR devices, be aware of the frame pair definition. Keep in mind that each frame pair contains an illuminated signal capture portion and an ambient capture portion. Okay, for proper ambient subtraction, the ratio of the signal to the ambient integration time must also be reported. And you must report this via the iSource or the iframe provider. And so there'll be information in that specification that explains how that works. More specifically, that's out of the spec. Wavelength and bandpass. We recommend that the filter is narrow as possible, but at the same time, you do want to be able to take into account temperature changes. And then I talked about the signal noise ratio. That's super important. And in interest of time, I'm just going to crank through that a little bit. So testing considerations. There's not this huge test thing you have to go through. We like to think it's pretty simple. Your test harness, you set up your test harness to validate the sensor requirements via ISO standards. So those are the ISO standards that you should be testing against. Pretty standard testing requirements. You might be thinking, well, it'd be great if I had a test app, like a pattern app. We have not created those tools because we actually use a third-party tool. We use I'm a Test. So if you ever heard of imatest.com, that's what we use. So I'd recommend that to you. And then in terms of your environmental considerations, this is where you test them. Various lighting conditions. Now, for the scientist in you, you may be thinking, I'd like to see lux numbers. In the spec that we'll publish, we'll have lux numbers to go along with those environments. So if you want to create those, you know, accordingly, versus going outside. If you live in Seattle, you have to create artificial environments. Whoop. They cut out my call to action slide. Oh no. I had a call to action slide. And somebody replaced it with an evaluation form. Okay. As I said, in this era of high-profile data breaches where, you know, the bad guys are out there stealing terabytes of our information and causing us concern, paranoia, and you know, We need to answer that. We need to have higher security that remains convenient to use. It doesn't add a level of complexity. And so together, as a platform, we should be building that together. We can build it. We can build a more secure world that provides user convenience with enterprise level of security. It gives you access to HPI data via NGC, code in Passport, convenience of just sitting down in front of your machine and logging with your face, logging in with your eyes. We didn't talk very much about that today too, but you know, think about, if you're thinking about developing face authentication solutions, if Iris is interesting to you, it's very similar tech. We use IR again, right? There's some changes in the filter. There's some changes to, you want, you know, more pixel density across the eyes. Or fingerprint, right? And fingerprints evolving as well to touch down and, you know, finger on your touchpad. So these are all supported. These are all clients of the Windows biometric framework built into Windows. The face authentication technology is built into Windows. We would need to work together to build these security solutions from a hardware perspective, to provide robust, interesting, exciting scenarios to make our customers want to go out and buy new PCs and live in this new age of technology that's secure. So my call to action is, let's build it. Let's work. We're posting the specs, like I said. If you have questions, my call to action's gone. I'll try to say this slow. You can email us if you want further information at MPC devices at Microsoft.com. And we'll work with you, give you information, and build it together. All right, thank you very much. I was sad my slide was gone. The evaluations are super important to us, please. It lets us know if we're providing the right events, the right venues, the right information, if I'm providing useful information or not. Please fill out the evaluations. And then please go eat and drink at the reception that is waiting for you right now. If you have any questions, feel free to come up and I'll answer your questions best of my ability. Thank you very much. Have a great show and a great evening.